As you're seated, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40, to those verses that Charlie read to us just a few minutes ago, verses 25 through 31. As a congregation, we've been walking through Isaiah chapter 40 during this season of Advent. And so as we've come today to the fourth Sunday of Advent, we come to the end of Isaiah 40. We'll be focusing our attention this morning on what God has to say to us as his people. What God has to say to us in those last seven verses, 25 through 31. But as you're turning there, I think it will benefit us just to be reminded for a few minutes of the amazing things that God has said to us so far in this chapter in his word by his Spirit through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah was writing these words, speaking these words over 800 years before the birth of Christ, but he's proclaiming Christ to us across the centuries. So as Isaiah chapter 40 opens, even in just the first two verses, God begins by making promises. Promises of comfort, you see that in verse 1. Of our iniquity being pardoned. He goes on and promises in verses 3 through 5 that he's coming. Be ready, he's coming. He promises he's coming. His glory will be revealed, he promises. As the chapter moves on, verses 6 through 11, he promises good news, a word of good news. All flesh is like grass, we wither. We fade, but his word stands forever. And he tells us what that word is. That word is the good news of Jesus, heralded by the church and incarnate in the man, Jesus Christ. God promises all this. And then in the second section of this chapter, where we were last week, verses 12 through 24, God assures us that he can keep all of these promises because he is supremely powerful. God reigns over all things, over distant galaxies, over specks of dust, over all things. So God has the right to make everything right in the world because he sovereignly rules over the world, over everything. So that's where we've been in Isaiah 40. And if I could sum all this up as we now come to the last section of this chapter today, it would be to say and to remind us that it's God's majesty that makes sense of the manger. It's God's transcendence that makes sense of his imminence, of him coming close. It's his reign over all things that makes sense of his rescue. In this way, for you this morning, in your life, in your circumstances, as you are, this makes sense of God's rescue in this way. Because God is who God is, you can know that and live like the one who depends on no one is absolutely dependable. You can know that and you can live like that. That the one who upholds the universe in Christ, and he does, the one who upholds the universe in Christ also forever upholds you in Christ. Because God is the God of the cosmos. He is able to be, for you, the God of all comfort. So as we walk through verses 25 through 31 today, God makes this clear. The sovereign one over you is the saving one who comes to you and is the sustaining one for you. He's sovereign over you. He is. He's the saving one who comes to you in Christ. He is. And he is the sustaining one for you. We believe that all of who God is, in his sovereign power, in his saving power, and his sustaining power, all of who God is made available to us in Christ. God doesn't hold any of himself back. He makes himself available to us in Christ. Think about the line at the end of this verse of this familiar Christmas carol. We'll sing this in just a few days on Christmas Eve. The verse begins, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." And then here comes the line. "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Wow. What truth. What glory. What goodness. That the hopes and the fears for all people from beginning of time, of all the years, they're all met in Jesus, in the one person of Jesus. Now, do we believe that? And how can we believe that? That the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus? We can believe that because, again, the one who upholds the whole universe is the same one who forever upholds you in Christ. So we take our eyes off ourselves for a few minutes this morning. We take our eyes off of our circumstances for a few minutes this morning, and we behold our God again. Behold your God this morning. In Isaiah 40, and first, behold, God calls the stars by name. God has asserted his absolute sovereignty. In verses 12 through 24, so he asks now. In verse 25, "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see." He's saying, go outside, look up at the night sky, look at the stars, ask yourself who created the stars. "He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." So God is assuring us of his care first by reminding us of his sovereignty. And he reminds us of the magnitude of his sovereignty. He also reminds us of the intricacy of his sovereignty. And here's what I mean. Look at verse 26. "Lift up your eyes and see the stars. Who created these?" God created the stars. God not only created the stars, but he counts the stars, and he also calls them by name. If you've ever owned an ESV study Bible, you'll know that it's about this thick, and it's full of amazing notes. And I just want to highlight the note from the ESV study Bible about verse 26 at the bottom of the page. They add that God's creating the stars would have been awe-inspiring even in ancient Israel, where about 5,000 stars were visible at night. Astronomers now estimate, however, that there are more than 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and that there are 125 billion galaxies in the universe. The total number of stars is estimated at 10 billion trillions. Just think about that. If you can, think about that. 10 billion trillion stars.
give or take a few million. So this is the magnitude of the sovereignty of God who can create that many stars. But Isaiah goes on in verse 26 to say that he who brings out their host by number calls them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he's strong in power, not one is missing. This is the intricacy of the sovereignty of our God, who can name and know that many stars. So behold the magnitude of God as the great creator, and behold the intricacy of his sovereignty as the great knower. God calls the stars by name. So now, behold and be comforted, God calls his children by name. I love how in verse 27, just after God has revealed that he names the stars, he immediately says the names of his covenant children. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. See how the God of all the cosmos bends down to comfort his children personally. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, covenant child? Why do you speak, O Israel, covenant child? Why do you say, Jamie, new covenant child? Why do you say, John, Jeff, new covenant child? So God is doing here in verse 27, he's showing how in his greatness and in his grace, he bends towards his people. That while God is incomprehensibly transcendent, he's also incomprehensibly immanent, enough to call his children by name, enough to ask you why you feel as though God has forgotten you. Just hear this morning, that God is never too busy for you. God is never too busy upholding 10 trillion billion stars that he can't also look you in the face and speak to you by name and ask you why you're worried, why you feel forgotten, why you feel abandoned by him. He says to you, why do you say that your way is hidden from the Lord, or that your right is disregarded by your God? Now, if you're Israel in this moment, and God asks you that question, you might very well say, well, because we're exiled, because we're in captivity, that's why we're saying our way is disregarded by God, because of our circumstances. Same answer you would give. Same answer I would give. If God asked you, maybe even today, in the middle of a difficult season, in the middle of a dark time in your life, if God were to ask you, why do you say your way is hidden from the Lord? You would likely say, because of my circumstances. Yet in these dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Do you believe, and how can you believe that that's true, when the circumstances in your life scream at you that that's not true? When the circumstances in your life scream at you that your hopes and fears have been forgotten by God, you can believe that your way is not hidden from the Lord, because while your circumstances are screaming at you, the Holy Spirit is whispering to you, singing over you, the one who upholds the universe in Christ also upholds you in Christ. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in him. Behold here that God calls the stars by name. God also calls you his child by name. And therefore, behold, God calls his children to faith. Verse 28, God asks, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And praise God, the chapter doesn't just stop there. It's good news that the chapter doesn't stop there. If it did stop there, God would continue to be all-sufficient and self-existent in and of himself with no lack whatsoever. But we would be on our own. But we are not on our own. Because by grace, through faith, we have access to this God and to all that he gives. God has just said to us in verse 28, he is everlasting. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He never grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And as the chapter continues, verses 29 through 31, we see that also God is the great giver. The giver of what? The giver of himself to you. The giver of his grace to you. The giver of his power to you. God gives power to the faint, verse 29. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What God is calling you here to at the end of this chapter is simple faith. Simple faith. What is simple faith? What do I mean by that? I mean nothing more and nothing less than just total dependence on him. Total trust. Not in yourself, not in your works, and not in the frantic flapping of your wings. God gives the power. God increases and renews your strength. God is the sovereign one and the saving one and the sustaining one. Remember what I said a few weeks ago, that before you can ever cry Abba, you first have to cry Uncle. You have to surrender. Because God is who God is, you can know that and live like the one who depends on no one, this God who is everlasting, who is the creator of the ends of the earth, who doesn't faint or grow weary, the one whose understanding is unsearchable. You can live like that God is forever dependable in your life, forever trustworthy in your life, that the God who calls the stars by name knows your name and upholds you forever in his power and by his grace. These verses here at the end of Isaiah 40 are a promise. These are a promise of God for you. And they're a promise of God for you not only in the future, but they are a promise for you right now. So these are an appropriate promise. This is an appropriate promise for us to consider in Advent. Because this is a now and not yet promise. Right now, so now, this is your spiritual reality in Christ. As one who abides in Christ, he gives you spiritual power. He increases your spiritual strength. In your physical weariness and exhaustion, you remain at all times firmly, forever, fixed, seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what we believe, is what the Bible teaches us in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are seated with Christ spiritually, positionally, relationally, salvifically. This is true for you now in Christ, even in the midst of your circumstances, in your trial, in your doubting, in your storm, in your darkness. What's true for you is that you are in Christ, and he increases your strength, not due to any effort on your own, but all by grace. Now, you will hardly ever feel this in the moment. In the moment, or for many moments, or for months, or for years, you may feel weak. You may feel weary and exhausted. And like the more you flap your wings, the less anything happens. You ever had a season of your life like that? You're working, you're trying, you're doing, you're committing, you're endeavoring. Nothing is happening. There will be times in your life you feel like a failure as a man, or a failure as a mom, a failure as a Christian, a failure as a pastor. You may feel that that's true, but it's not true, because this is your spiritual reality right now. God gives power to the faint. To him or to her who have no might, God increases your strength. Even when you're weary and you faint and you're exhausted, God's going to renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. True now. True now. But also not yet. This is also words of prophecy for us of the resurrection, of what will be when Christ returns, of what Christ will make true, what our Lord Jesus will make true for all who put their trust in him. These verses here are describing your future in heaven with Christ. All will be well. All will be made new. All will be renewed. Nothing will break. No one will be sick. No one will get tired. There will be no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, no more night, all because of Jesus. So it's amazing that in these verses here also, we'll close here. Look and see how 800 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah is proclaiming Jesus to us here. Because Jesus veiled his power and his sovereignty. Jesus veiled his might in the faintness and weakness of human flesh. Because Jesus laid down his life, weary and exhausted on the cross at the peak of his physical youth. Because Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross like an eagle, totally entrusting himself to the Father and totally giving himself up for your sake. Because Jesus did that, you can stretch out the wings of your feeble faith and be carried by him and be comforted by him and be sustained by him. The one who holds 10 billion trillion stars, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. He holds you in his hands too. You are forever upheld in Christ. Believer, my brother, you are forever upheld in Christ. my sister, you are forever upheld in Christ. You may not feel like that's true, but it's true. Praise God. Let's pray. So, Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight, when the clouds are rolled back like a scroll, when the trumpet of the Lord resounds, and the Lord descends. Even so, it is well with our soul. We do pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And as we wait on you, Lord, as we depend on you, as we trust in you, even as our circumstances scream at us that you've forgotten us or you've moved on from us, help us to hear that whisper of your Spirit, the song of your Spirit over us, of who we are in Christ and what is given to us in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.